The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Good afternoon. I'm Tracy Jenkins, the Director of the Office of Career and Professional Development. Welcome. I just wanted to give you a couple of other introductions. Our new Assistant Director of Public Interest and Government Specialist, Christina Jackson, just joined our office yesterday, so we're thrilled to have her. She will be focusing on students who are interested in government and public interest careers, both internships as well as postgraduate positions. So don't bombard her yet. She's just getting acclimated, but she did come from another career services office, so we anticipate that she will be up and running pretty quickly. So welcome, Christina. Also with me is Robin Fulton, our recruitment coordinator. She'll be administering the program and will probably be, for most purposes, your point person throughout the summer into next fall. And then Eliza Musalem, who's also one of our other career counselors, is here as well. So I just want to give you a brief overview first of the program, and then we'll get more into the nuts and bolts of it. I'm assuming everyone is a 1L that's here. Are there any 2Ls that are here? Okay, so all 1Ls. Great. 3L? Okay. Hello. So first, I just wanted to give you a little perspective on fall recruitment, because I'm sure all of you have heard a lot about it through other students here and maybe at other schools. Fall recruitment is a bit of a misnomer because it actually starts for us in June in terms of us starting to work with you and making sure that we publicize and have available to you employers. You'll start basically through our system applying in July. So it is very important that your CareerLink profiles are up to date so that you're receiving information from our office starting probably after exams are over through the summer. So it's really very much a sort of email type system until you all get back to school. Just to give you some perspective, on average about 20 to 25% of our recent grads report that they actually get their positions or postgraduate positions through a fall recruitment process. So just to give you a little perspective there in terms of the actual numbers. Fall recruitment really involves employers who are able to predict their needs, their hiring needs, either a year or maybe 2 years in advance. Not all employers are going to participate in fall recruitment because they may recruit in a different way. The types of employers that typically are involved in this process include larger law firms, many government agencies, but then there are also smaller firms, some public interest in government, smaller government organizations, as well as some in-house positions. So when you look at fall recruitment, while large firms and government agencies tend to take up most of the employers, please don't overlook other employers that will be participating in the program. In terms of the economy, which I know is on all of your minds, and I'm sure that many of you have been aware of, particularly the large firm challenges that have been taking place over the past 3 to 6 months. We are not sure in terms of the employers and what their summer classes will look like for the summer of 2010. They are still coming to recruit on campus. We will still obviously have a fall recruitment program. They have already started registering for the program, but we just don't know if the size will be significantly different than it's been in other years. That being said, the one thing I would have you keep in mind throughout this entire process, I guess, are two things. One, flexibility. So that means if you are able to go outside of the D.C. area, or you can look outside of New York or Los Angeles, some of the other major markets, I would encourage you to not only look at the major markets that you're most interested in, but also take a look at some other markets that maybe you have another connection to. So number one, flexibility, I think, will be very important. And number two, not overlooking employers. So for example, every year it's a surprise to us in terms of how many students apply to large firms versus the government agencies. Sometimes we are having to extend the deadlines for government agencies because we only have 20 or 25 applicants for those positions. Those positions are extremely competitive. They are very good positions to have. So I want to make sure that students are not looking at the government as sort of the second choice position. Obviously, if your first choice is large firms, we will work with you as much as possible to see that you can hopefully secure one of those positions. However, the government, because some of the larger agencies can recruit at the same time, those employers sometimes get a bit overlooked. So we just want to make sure that you know that there are government agencies and other employers that do recruit throughout this process. What we will probably do now is sort of go through, and I think all of you have a handout. Can you raise your hand if you don't? have a handout?
You okay. Got your seventh grade down here.
Okay, and we'll get this to you. Okay, so I'm going to turn it over to Robin. We'll probably just sort of switch back. Who's that cooking? That'd be great. Okay, so a lot of the information we're going to be going through is in your guide, but we're going to sort of supplement it with some additional tips and pointers that will just prepare you guys better as you get ready to start thinking about fall recruitment. I realize this process doesn't start until July and you have other things going on. But just to start, I want to talk to you about the nuts and bolts of fall recruitment. This is pretty basic. You'll hear us talk about all of these components over and over again during the presentation. The on-campus interview, we'll also refer to it OCI, local office interview, sometimes we'll call it an LOI, resume collection, direct application, regional interview programs, those can, we could be referring to Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, New York, or the West Coast, as well as job fairs and interview programs occurring throughout the country. So when we talk about on-campus interviews, what we're referring to is a 7-week process that happens here at the law school. It begins with early week. That will take place beginning August 17th. It will run for, again, 7 weeks through the first week in October. And it's completely organized by our office. I'll be your point of contact throughout that process. And we will be facilitating your participation in OCI from the application stage all the way up until you're getting ready to sign up for interviews and come into the office and meet with attorneys. And what an OCI means is it's an on-campus interview. It's a screening interview, typically between 20 and 30 minutes in length, conducted by attorneys. Anywhere between 1 to 3 attorneys could be interviewing you at a time. Resume collection and direct application, pretty self-explanatory, but there are some subtle nuances. The resume collection opportunity, you'll see a lot of those. And what this means is that the employer has agreed to review applications from WCL on a formal basis. And they'll probably ask to see from you a cover letter, a resume, probably a writing sample, a transcript, and you'll submit these through CareerLink. Now, when you submit them on CareerLink, they'll be stored on the system until the dateline specified. So if you are applying for positions ahead of the game and you have an update to your resume, you may want to be able to recall that in the system. You can do that so long as it happens before the deadline set. Direct application is a little different. You'll literally be applying through CareerLink, but as soon as you submit your materials, they're going to go to the employer. So we can't really help you once they've been set. Now, we could maybe, you know, contact a recruiter and let them know that you want to resubmit, but just know that as soon as you go through the process with direct application, it's pretty much on to the employer. The other component, the regional interview program. We have 3 consortia that WCL participates in, which include Atlanta, Boston, and the West Coast. What is a consortium? WCL will partner with other schools to participate in regional interview programs. So, for example, when we go up to Boston, we'll also be working with Tulane's Law School and the Catholic University of America Law School. So you'll be participating as WCL students, but in conjunction with other schools, and it is helpful because it pulls a larger number of employers on a given date. So those are the 3 consortia, and then we have 2 standalone programs. We're working on a Chicago program. It's a tricky market, but we're hoping to be able to use some of our pull when it comes to alumni contacts or existing relationships that we have with employers. So there'll be more information on that. And then our New York City interview program, that's just WCL, takes place up in New York. We usually have about 10 to 15 employers participate, so keep your eyes out for those. So this is just to give you an idea of the terms that are going to be used throughout this workshop. We'll get into all of this in more detail later in the presentation. So as Tracy mentioned in the introduction, this fall recruitment process is just a component of the larger job search strategy. You'll see the graphic. Tracy referred to this. When you look at the recruitment program piece of the pie, it's about 25% of our graduating class that tells us they found their permanent postgraduate employment through an OCPD recruitment program. Now you'll see the majority of the pie is made up of other sort of job sources. Some of them we do, we are involved in. Others may be self-directed searches. So like Tracy was saying, when you're going through fall recruitment, think of it as a piece of the puzzle. Definitely apply to positions you're interested in. Participate to the fullest extent that you're comfortable with. But think about what else you could be doing as you go through the process. Think about counseling appointments with OCPD counselors. Think about networking opportunities. Think about making sure that you're using all the resources that are here at the law school for you as you go through sort of your law school career. And we'll get into that a little bit more. So before we really get into, like, the nitty-gritty. We want to make sure that you have a good understanding of the policies and procedures in place here at in OCPD and at WCL. How many of you have heard of our professionalism and no-show policy? You're pretty comfortable with it. I mean, this policy is really in full effect when it comes to fall recruiting because we have to maintain a good relationship with our employer contacts as well as making sure that our students going through the process are, you know, protected and that you guys have all the opportunities that you deserve. So just a few touches on this, some of the most important things to take away. You should only be applying for employers that you're actually interested in. I know a lot of people, when you know you're looking at a bad economy, you might be thinking, well, I'm going to cast a really broad net. That's great. Just make sure who you're applying to is, you know, someone that you're interested in. And what I mean by that is, you know, fully research all the employment opportunities. Make sure that you have the necessary qualifications, backgrounds, and skills to be, you know, a competitive candidate for that employer. Make sure that the employer has a practice area or a program or something that really is of interest to you so that when you walk into an interview, if granted, you're not telling them you want to practice international law when they only have a domestic practice. Part two, if you are applying for positions, we expect that if granted an interview, you will accept it. So if you are applying for dozens and dozens of interviews and then you turn around and you get a good number of on-campus interviews and it's overwhelming, you're going to be expected still to take advantage of those invitations. There is a policy in place where students can be selected as alternates. So that's where part three comes in. Don't skip an interview. If you, for some reason, get sick, if you come into an employment opportunity, you decide to accept the offer, if there's some other compelling circumstance and you can read through the policy itself to figure that out, make sure you notify our office at least 24 hours in advance if that's possible. Because what can happen is your interview can be opened up to an alternate, another student at WCL. So just be, you know, good peers, help each other out. And, of course, I just wanted to touch quickly on ramifications for failure to comply with our policy. If you skip an interview or if you cancel for some reason that we don't find compelling, you'll be expected to write a letter of explanation to Tracy Jenkins, the director of our office. We may ask that you write a letter of apology to the employer, and it may be escalated beyond that, just depending on the nature of the infraction. And depending on if this is happening frequently or if you haven't taken the necessary steps to correct it, there are further repercussions, including, you know, a limited participation in the rest of the program if we don't think that you're going to be responsible throughout it, or not being able to participate in another OCPD-sponsored event. Question?
I was just wondering if you could explain compelling circumstance.
I'm sorry?
Compelling circumstance number two. I just don't understand what the situation is.
Number two?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure. She's asking a question. If you guys turn to page three in your packet, paragraph three, number two, as an excuse, the employer has selected three or more alternates for their interview schedule, and the number of open slots is not greater than the number of alternates designated. So that would mean if you're an alternate and maybe a couple interview slots become available and you don't get in there in time, we're not going to expect you to then come back through and accept the interview on the back end. Am I explaining that correctly? So it's just one of the, you might be selected as an alternate, but we're not going to expect you the day of the interview to be ready to go, to have all your classwork finished, to be in a suit. I mean, if it's really a circumstance where you're not getting enough notification as an alternate, then you're protected under the professionalism policy. Does that make sense? That doesn't happen very often, but to the extent that it does, it's in there. So does anyone have any other questions about the professionalism policy in place? So let's just get into the OCI process because this is the most visible part of the program. So like I said, OCI will run for 7 weeks from August 17th until October 2nd. This is subject to change because from time and again we'll have an employer come in late in the game and we want to make sure that the employer is able to participate. So you may see some employers getting tacked on in October, particularly around the time of the Equal Justice Works Career Fair. We tend to see a lot of public interest or government employers travel to the city for that, and they really like to take advantage of the opportunity to come on campus and meet with WCL students. So just keep that in mind when you're planning your fall semester. The OCI program runs completely through the OCI tab on CareerLink. You probably haven't had too much experience with it yet. It's pretty self-explanatory. And I'll pull up the website later on in the program just to show you guys what it's going to look like, how you're going to apply, what a job posting will look like for you guys, what you should be thinking about when you're reviewing the job posting, how it's going to look when you're selected for an interview, how it's going to look when you're signing up for an interview, et cetera. We're going to open CareerLink for you on July 13th. What that means is on July 13th, you'll go to the OCI tab, and all of a sudden, like every opportunity we have available will be visible. So you'll be able to look through and do your research on the front end, figure out who's participating, what sort of candidates they're looking for, what kind of application materials you should have prepared for those, and you'll also be able to see how the deadlines are going to roll. Application deadlines do roll on a weekly basis. So for early week, you'll have a deadline of July 27th. For week two, you'll have a deadline the subsequent Monday, and so on and so forth throughout the program. And we have a dates and deadlines document available on the recruitment program page of the OCPD website, and that's the hyperlink to it. I can show you guys later in the program, but it's a comprehensive table of each week and its corresponding deadline, as well as the deadlines for our five regional programs. Does anyone have any questions just about that application process? After you apply, there's another sort of component to using OCI, like I was mentioning. When you're selected for an interview, when you're selected as an alternate, or when you are not selected, regardless, you'll get an email automatically generated by CareerLink, which will tell you that. So you can keep your eye in your inbox to know when employer selections are coming in, what the result is of your application. When you are looking at OCI after the selections have come through, what you'll see is that you'll have three different statuses. You might be pre-selected. What that means is that the employer wants to interview you on campus. There are usually about 21 students on an interview schedule, so you can assume 21 pre-selects. That's for 20-minute interviews. Sometimes there are 30-minute interviews, in which case they'll probably be more like 12 pre-selects. There's an alternate designation. What this means is that the interviewer is interested in you, or the employer is interested in you as a candidate, that they would like to have the opportunity to interview you if one of those 21 slots or so should happen to not fill. So as an alternate, you may be giving the opportunity to bump onto the pre-select schedule. It's also a good way of knowing that you're competitive. Maybe you weren't competitive enough to get on the employer's A-list, as it were, but you're still a desirable candidate. And then finally, a not selected option, which essentially means the employer isn't able to interview you at that time. Once you are able to see those designations, if you're pre-selected, you'll be able to sign up for an interview on the system. A good thing to keep in mind is that CareerLink lets you put in your class schedule so that it will give you sort of a red flag if you're trying to schedule an interview during your class time. But what you should know is there are 21 students interviewing in a day, and a lot of you have class together. So from time to time, and we do try to avoid it, you may have to miss 20 minutes of a class. I would say by and large, professors are fully versed in fall recruitment, particularly the first week of classes when there tends to be still a good number of employers on campus. But always have that conversation with your professor up front to let them know. And if there is an issue, then please let me know so that I can try to work something out. Again, you're responsible for signing up for interviews on CareerLink. You want to do that as quickly as possible to ensure that you are getting times that are conducive to your schedule. The longer you wait, the less help I can give you in trying to make something that works with your class schedule, your work schedule, your extracurricular activities. Any questions about those post-application details? Okay. So resume collection, we touched, yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I just wanted to know, are the pre-select, those statuses, are those given on a rolling basis, or is that after the deadline?
Very good question. What we try to do as, you know, an office, we set deadlines for employers. Now, by and large, I would say that the employers are mindful of those deadlines. So you can expect that a pretty good number of returns of pre-selection or selection list returns will happen at the same time. That's not always the case. So you may see a bunch come through on a Tuesday and then a few trickle in throughout the week. So what's important is just to be aware of your inbox, keep checking your email. I mean, you don't have to be crazy about it, but you want to make sure you're getting those notifications. And you can also check your, I'll show you how, your application status on CareerLink, so that by chance you're on the system before I've gotten the email out to students, you might be able to sort of swoop in there ahead of time. That probably won't happen very often because I try to be very on top of these things. But what you'll see more so with government and nonprofit employers than with the law firms the government agencies and nonprofits tend to not have as much control over when they're getting their candidate selections together, because they might not have a formal recruiting department. So it might really be the attorneys who are going through resumes and applications, and if something comes up at work, then they just might not be able to get it done. So keep that in mind too. It could be as much as a week ahead of time. It could be as little as a few days. But by and large, you'll have plenty of notice. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so let's just talk quickly about the resume collection. Just like CareerLink opens on July 13th for OCI, so does it open for resume collection and direct application. You'll see some resume collection deadlines, meaning that you have to have applied by a date, but you'll still have access to your application up until that date. You'll see some of those in late July, so those are by far some of the earliest applications you'll want to get to. You'll see some as late as, you know, November, depending on the size of the employer. So really keep your eye on the resume collection opportunities throughout the semester. I can't tell you, there were more than a few times that students weren't having success with OCI, and they were supplementing their OCI applications with resume collection or direct application. And, you know, I would hear about them not having success with their OCI interviews, but then at the end of the semester, I would find out that they've gone and done a resume collection, gotten an interview, and gotten a job through fall recruitment. So this is a really important component of the program, but it's up to you guys to be on top of those opportunities. Again, there's no advantage to applying early per se, because you have up until the stated deadline, but don't push it until the last minute, because you never know, there could be an overload on the system, or you might be missing a piece of application material. So just make sure that you're cognizant of the deadline and don't try to push it too much, but also don't feel like you need to apply on July 13th for those positions. Again, if you update your materials after you've applied, you are able to recall your application in the system, meaning if you want to go ahead and submit your cover letter and your resume, but then maybe you've got, I don't know, a position for the fall and you want to add that to your resume, you can go ahead and update your materials. The difference then between the resume collection direct application is that these take place, direct applications, on a rolling basis from July until the end of the semester. And we always recommend that students apply early to position themselves well. You never know when an employer is going to find a really great candidate and want to start the interview process. And if you're waiting until that deadline, you might not get in the door. So make sure you are, you know, managing the application schedule between OCI and resume collection and direct application. But be mindful that those direct applications, you're going to want to be on top of those deadlines. And again, once you apply, it can't be recalled in the system. If you have a legitimate reason for updating your resume or your cover letter because something's come up, then it's usually acceptable to submit an updated application to the employer. If you have a typo on your cover letter or you misspelled the interviewer or the, you know, contact person's name, it's a little harder to get your application updated with the employer without calling attention to that. So just be mindful that once you submit it, it's gone. Any questions between those two, the resume collection and the direct application? I should say, too, I mean, with the direct application resume collection, just like with OCI, these are going to be opportunities with large law firms, with more mid-sized firms, with government employers, with nonprofits, corporations. It could be really anything. And you can use CareerLink just like you did. I don't know how many of you participated or utilized the spring recruitment program to look for jobs, but if you do keyword searches for fall recruitment or for direct application or resume collection, you can pull those up. You can also sort by summer full-time, summer part-time. If, you know, you're looking for a post-grad position, you can search for post-grad, you know, full-time, permanent. So keep that in mind as well. So then for the regional programs, by a show of hands, how many people are thinking about participating in a regional interview program? So that would be Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, New York, or the West Coast. Okay, great. So for regional programs, in advance, we always like students to know that expenses associated with traveling to the program are the student's responsibility. So make sure that when you're going ahead and applying that you know what you can sort of pull off. You know, you're going to need to arrange for cost share. Our office likes to help students connect with each other. So if you can carpool up to New York for the New York program, that can be done. If you have a friend who lives in New York and maybe he or she can have you and a friend stay at his or her apartment, try to make that happen. If you can you know, just think ahead about ways you can do this in a cost-effective manner without waiting until the last minute to try to get a hotel or to try to get a flight. It makes things a lot easier. We understand that there are always instances where maybe something comes up and you just can't swing it financially. Just let us know what's going on so that we can better assist you with trying to get you to those programs. Again, with those cost share arrangements, we'll send an email to students who have been awarded interviews through the programs, letting them know if they'd like to enter into a cost share arrangement, whether it's a carpool or sharing a hotel or what have you. We'll sort of put a list together and make sure you guys are communicating with one another. And we also expect that if you're going to a regional program, if you get one interview, you still need to go. So that can be a little daunting when you're looking at an expensive plane, train, or sort of gas receipt. So what you can do to make the most of the regional interview programs is to apply to other employers in those areas who maybe aren't participating in one of the formal programs, but let them know in your cover letter, I will be in Santa Monica on August 28th and would welcome the opportunity to come into your local office for an interview or an informational interview or what have you. Make sure that you're, again, thinking ahead, how can you maximize this trip? Because if you just do have one or two or even three interviews, you still have a pretty good amount of time to get somewhere else. And another good thing to keep in mind is that myself or Tracy Jenkins, the director of the office, either both of us or one of us will always be on site at these programs. So we'll probably ask you in advance for good contact information. And make sure you have our contact information, because every now and then a plane is delayed or there's traffic on the turnpike or something happens. And it's just great for us to be able to get in touch with you quickly to let you know what's going on at the program, or for you to let us know why you're running late so that we can either hold or try to preserve your interview with an employer. So those are our regional interview programs. Another way to supplement the regional interview program is to participate in job fairs and interview programs around the country. And there are so many. This is not an exhaustive list. And a lot of them are specialty-based. So there are, for example, like the patent law interview program that Loyola Law School puts on. There are diversity programs that go on around the country. There are sort of regional job fairs that go on. So do some research. If you're thinking about going to Boston, get on the internet and see what's going on that in the summer in Boston. See what you can get involved with. If you want to go, if you're thinking about the Midwest, see what's going on there. Another good thing to do, we try to pull positions from around the country, but I can tell you when I'm trying to see what's going on, if you're thinking about going back to Chicago, maybe look at some of the Chicago law school sites and see what kind of fairs they're publicizing. Those are usually public, and they might have more than we would because our specialty is sort of this part of the country versus theirs being that pull in Chicago. So just use all of your use all the angles available to see what you can come up with. Plenty of students get their positions through these programs, and plenty of students go through OCI and do resume collection direct application and do regional programs and do these job fairs and interview programs. And, you know, they'll get a job through this, or they'll get an offer through one thing and through another. And so it's just a really good way to cover all the bases and set yourself up for success. Speaking of which, I know a lot of you are probably wondering what you can maybe be doing now, because a lot of this seems to be in the far future, at least. A lot seems a little far away when you're thinking about exams at the end of the semester. So what you can be doing now, as your schedules permit, is to start thinking about coming into OCPD to meet with a career counselor, to have your resume and cover letter reviewed. If you just want to get a look at that resume, that's really the most important, crucial piece of your application when it comes to OCI. It's really that one page that has to tell the employer what's great about you and what you have going on and why that makes you an attractive candidate. So I would recommend, almost above all other things, that you are making sure that your application materials are straight. That includes getting your transcripts, like after the semester's over and your grades are out. You'll want to go to the registrar's website. There's an online transcript request form. A lot of OCI employers want to see your transcript. And what they mean by that is they want to see your transcript from the registrar. They don't want to see what you've copied and pasted off of my.american.edu. They don't need to see an official transcript, but they want to see something that's issued by the law school. So do yourselves a favor, because it is very stressful when you need that piece of material and you have a day before the deadline. It's stressful for the registrar because inevitably they get bombarded at this time of year by first year and second year and evening students. So the sooner you can make that request and get it, the better.
Another option, in addition to a resume cover letter review, is to come in for mock interviews in our office. How many, were you guys able to participate in the mock interview program this spring? Anyone? Oh, good. Okay. Good work, Eliza. So that was a great opportunity. That our career counselors are all expert mock interviewers, so you can come in and they could mock you for a 20-minute screening interview. It doesn't have to be an hour-long interview. They can really give you an idea of what the employer is going to be looking for. So think about doing that, and we're here all summer as well. Yes?
Just a quick question on the transcript request. Is that the unofficial transcript request that you hold on to and then can present?
That's a good question. What you'll do is you'll get that unofficial transcript. It's always going to be hard copy from the registrar, at least for the time being. You can bring it to either OCPD, to the library, or to, you know, if you have a scanner, or if you go to Kinko's, you're going to scan it into a PDF and upload it to the system. You could go ahead and get the official transcript, but you only get so many of those before it starts costing you money. So I would definitely just recommend getting the unofficial and having it scanned into a PDF.
Mm-hmm. Quick question on that. This semester, when we were waiting for our grades, we didn't actually get, some of us didn't get them back until like February.
Right.
And so, do you recommend waiting until we have our grades or just request them at the start of the summer?
I would wait until you have your grades.
Because sometimes it takes like 2 months to check.
Yeah. If it's getting to be, I don't know if there would be a situation where it would be really.
Pretty closely with the registrar's office in the summer because they know that we have some deadlines that are during the summer. So they're very good at trying to contact professors and making sure the grades are in. If you run into a situation where you're missing a grade and a deadline is coming up, let us know because then we can be in touch with the registrar and make sure that gets expedited.
Other questions about the transcript? And so that you know, I'll go over this more, but if you look through the packet, there's a career link, frequently asked questions, and these are really the questions that are very frequently asked, and they're all answered in this packet. So, you can send me an email and I'll answer you. It might take a couple days, so it's always better to consult the fall recruitment guide because there are about 600 of you going through fall recruitment at one time, and I can get the same questions 600 times. So please use the guide. I tried to answer all your questions. So the next mock interviews, you get that. Another thing to think about, look at the OCPD website, look at the recruitment program website and see when early week starts, see when the regional interview programs are, look at the regional and job fairs going on around the country, see what's happening this summer and think about how you want to situate yourself. You're traveling home for the summer so that you make sure you have arrangements to get back to D.C. in time for early week, or if you're thinking about going abroad and having a summer job afterward so that you can let your employer know that you sort of need to be back in D.C. by a certain date. If you're planning on taking a trip during early week, we can't stop you from doing it, but it's not the best idea. I can't really speak to how many employers, like Tracy was saying, we don't know how many employers will be on campus this year. Numbers are looking good right now, and if I used last year as an estimate, there were about 60 employers on campus, and that was in 4 days. So you're looking at like 16 missed opportunities a day. So it doesn't divorce you from the opportunity to interview with that employer, but when they're coming to school specifically to interview WCL students, you want to make yourself available to them. Did I see a hand?
I was just trying to clarify, but it looks like it's called early week because the next week classes start. So basically it starts then and then
you're just going. And that's a good question. Early week, we call it early week because it is the week before classes start, and we design the program, and employers are aware of the fact that you'll be in classes. So we try to bring a big number of employers on campus that first week so that as the weeks go on, there's less and less interference with your class schedules. So you'll see the most employers on campus during early week, and then still a pretty good number on campus during week two, the first week of classes, probably week three, and you can imagine it just tapers off as the semester goes on. Any other questions?
Yes. Schools that are participating with us in the programs in other cities, they also participate
in our program? Mm-hmm. No, that's a good question. So at WCL, you guys are basically an employer looks at an OCI schedule as an opportunity to interview students applying from that school. So you're only competing amongst yourselves. That for the OCI. When it gets to the larger picture, when you're looking at the summer job, you'll be competing with whoever the employer has decided to interview. Only our regional programs involve other schools. So in those instances, you'll be interviewing you know, you might be going in and then you might be followed, the next appointment might be a student from Tulane. But as it pertains to here, we're the only ones. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sort of. I was told by a career person at Tulane that they do OCIs here.
I'll explain. So just like we go to Boston, and there are students who go to law school in Boston, we go to New York, there are law schools in New York, tons and tons of schools come here for DC interview programs. We don't participate in those because we get to have an OCI program. But there are students coming to D.C. to participate just like we do around the country in consortiums. So that's true, but it's not something that you would be in direct competition with them over. Does that make sense? Okay. So, again, travel plans for the summer. Just be aware of what's going on so that you don't end up in a situation where you have to miss something that you didn't want to miss. And then finally, do research. Start thinking about... And this means researching opportunities available and also thinking about what you want to do for yourself. So like Tracy was telling you in the introduction, think more broadly. Think about what practice areas interest you and which kinds of employers could you go to get experience in those areas. So could you go to the government? Yes. Could you go to a law firm? Yes. Could you go to a nonprofit? Probably. So think about what you want to be doing so that you know where you need to be applying. And then also start researching employers that interest you. So research the ones that are coming on campus. Research the ones that aren't. Research the ones that are doing resume collection. Just know what's available. Do as much as you can to educate yourself on a sort of more lax schedule so that when it comes time to be applying, you're not just frantically going through 100, 200 employers trying to get together as much information as you can about what they offer and how many attorneys there are there diversity programs and do they have mentor arrangements. So to do that, these are the best go-to resources, I would say. The NALP directory, how many of you have used the NALP directory? Excellent. So this is the hyperlink. It's NALPdirectory.com, pretty straightforward. And what you can do with that is either do an advanced search where you'll go through and you can really say city, state, employer size, employer type, do they have on-campus interviews at American University, do they interview students in dual degree programs, do they hire evening students, etc. That's one way you can do it. And what it will happen, I'll show you in a minute, it'll pull up basically the employer's NALP form. And that will tell you everything you need to know about each individual office. So if you want, or you're interested in Skadden, but you want to work in Skadden DC office, you can see how many attorneys there are, what their areas of specialty are, what kind of programs they offer, awards and recognitions. So that's a good way to get some research done. You can also do a quick search where you would really just need to enter an employer's name. You know you want to go to a particular law firm. It has to be a NALP employer, I should say. So it could be a law firm, a government agency, anyone who's registered with NALP and adheres to NALP's guideline. So use that resource. Of course, you know how to use LexisNexis. Westlaw, we have a representative, I think she's still here, who's an alumna. And last year she offered really great, quick, I think like 20, 30-minute training sessions on how to research your interviewer. So you can use Lexis or Westlaw to either sort of research more broadly or to really like hone in on a particular interviewer or an attorney that interests you to learn about what they're doing, what cases they've been on, if they've published. So that's a good resource. Martindale Hubbell, of course, is along in that category of the three. Vault, we have a subscription to their online career directory library, which you can get to through CareerLink. And there you can look at the, you know, Vault's top 100 firms, Vault's Best of New York, Best Law Firms for Women, the diversity they have, that's a good point, they have both a diversity guide as well as a database. So they go through, they ask students about their summer experiences, and you can pull up an employer and see what students said about that firm in terms of diversity. You can also use Yellow Books either online or we have them in our office. You can use the firm and organization website. I know students who did that and sort of created comprehensive guides for themselves about what each firm specialized in, what they were known for, the differences between each, because sometimes it seems like there are none. So those are good opportunities. And then, of course, we have a pretty comprehensive library in hard copy as well as online resources on our website, and then a very knowledgeable staff of 11 full-time people. So use us as well. Are you guys pretty familiar with all of these resources? Okay, great. So what I want to go through, just sort of last slide, and then I'll show you some stuff on the web. How many of you are familiar with the National Association for Law Placement, NALP? A few. So NALP is the governing organization of law schools and legal employers, and it sets forth sort of mutually helpful guidelines for the practice of legal recruiting. So they're designed to protect students, and they're designed to protect employers, so sort of supply and demand side. And what you guys should be familiar with, and what I'll educate you more about later in the summer, are the Part 5 of the NALP guidelines, principles, and standards. On the timing of offers and decisions, there are guidelines that apply specifically to the summer of recruitment, or the fall recruitment process for summer employment. And what you should know is that from the date you're given an offer, let's say you get a job, you have 45 days to make a decision. Or you should, theoretically, as it goes. So you can use up to that 45th day to make your decision and return it to the employer. You can sometimes ask for an extension. Sometimes it's granted, sometimes it's not. Depends on the circumstance. We see sort of in this environment people accepting offers more quickly. Sometimes people waiting until the end of the 45 days are in a more compromised situation. So I don't want to get into it too much because this is really far ahead, but what I would ask is that you guys go to NALP's website and do some self-education, because it's just a lot easier to go through the process knowing what the rules of the game are. There's also just another thing, because we have such a strong public interest profile at the school. I don't know how many students are interested in pursuing government or public interest positions, but there are provisions for students who are interested in pursuing those types of positions, because they tend to hire on a divorced time frame from what the law firms are doing. So that enables you to continue to interview with government or public interest employers and still hold an offer open with a law firm. So keep that in mind. On NALP's website, not only do they have the guidelines, they also have a couple of resources which they put out each year. One is the NALP Open Letter to Law Students, which gives really great advice about going through the OCI and fall recruitment process, what you can expect, what you are, you know, what sort of rights or privileges you're afforded as a student going through the process, how to go about getting reimbursed for travel expenses if a firm's invited you to an office outside of your location. And there's also a student professionalism during the interview process document, which talks about how, you know, you can go through the process with your best foot forward and what's sort of expected of you. So does anyone have any questions about NALP timing guidelines? Again, when we get closer to fall recruitment itself, I'll definitely send you guys all of the updated information, so you'll have the letter for the new season. But I just want to show you, because I talked quite a bit about it, some of the resources we talked about, because, again, this will just make the process, I think, easier for you guys. So it seemed like a good number of you had used NALP Directory. This is what it looks like. Advanced search versus quick search. If you want to do the advanced search, that's where you can go in and really take a look at which schools are registering as, which employers are registering as in those that come on campus to American University's law school. I can't say that every firm that comes on campus has filled out the NALP form, because a lot of government agencies and public interest organizations don't have them. Some law firms might just miss it, so I would say by and large there's probably more coming on campus than will pull up on NALP, but that's a good starting point. So that's one thing you could look at. You could also just look for city and state, so you could just look at law firms in D.C., and this will pull up not only large law firms, but also mid-sized firms, possibly some small firms if they are NALP members. So keep that in mind, and then what you can do is go ahead, click on the employer's profile, and this is what I was referring to as their NALP form. It'll tell you who their hiring contact is. So let's say this is a situation where you want to apply to a law firm, they don't come on campus, and you don't see them doing resume collection or direct application. This is a great starting point to get some contact information for them. I would also say to double check on the firm or organization website, because there has been some turnover in the law firm world, so the NALP form might not be as up-to-date as the firm's website, so you can just cover your bases that way. But it really does go through everything from the office size as a whole, 701 plus, to the office in D.C., which is, you know, 251 to 500, somewhere in there, and then the exact number, 287, breaks it down by demographics, talks about other offices, primary practice areas. So this is just a really great way to educate yourself about what each employer does. It's a great way to figure out how you want to address your cover letter. What sort of things do you want to talk about in the cover letter that will relate specifically to what the employer is looking for? Or what do you want to know going into an interview on campus or later in the process? So that's the NALP directory. The other thing I'll show you, because I don't think that this is used very often, this is our website. How many of you use our website? Okay, that's good. So there's a page right here called Recruitment Program, and this has information about the 2009 program, where it's going through a little bit of a facelift this summer, so it'll probably look different. But you can go through and just see right now what are the preliminary dates and deadlines. Here's the open letter I told you about, student professionalism. There are some ideas about preparation. But then the other thing you can do is look at this document, dates and deadlines. And like I said, it's a comprehensive table of each interview week, its corresponding deadline, when you can start applying. And it also tells you, though some of these aren't set yet, about the regional interview programs that we're offering this summer. So consult that. It sort of makes it easier. Any questions about that component? Excellent. And then the last thing I would show you, just because, like I said, I don't think many of you have used Simplicity when it comes to the OCI tab. So okay, so this is my sort of dummy demo account. How many of you use CareerLink on a regular basis? So like you log in once a week. Okay, how many use it at least during the semester sometimes? Okay. Well, you guys are going to be on here all the time, just like me. So get used to using the system, because it's really, we're moving ever forward in the technological realm. We used to have a very antiquated resume drop box in front of our office, and students would actually have to come and put hard copy materials into a drop box to do a resume collection. It's all done online now. So this will really be, if you're going through OCI, resume collection, and direct application, you'll be on here all the time from July until you find a job. So, probably. So just get used to using it. Like I said, this is the OCI tab over here. I set up just a couple of demo sessions, but what you need to know is there is an employer application tab. From that tab, this is where you'll go each week to see who's coming on campus. So you'll see here there's a session for one workshop, but right beneath it there's a section for another. There will probably be somewhere between 7 and 12 sessions here. So if you're only looking at workshop 101, you're not going to see, you'll see there's two employers. But then if you go to workshop 102, there's two more. But when it comes to fall recruitment, there'll actually be like 60 employers, and then 30, and then 25, and 12. And so just make sure you look through all the sessions. From this page, this is where you're going to be able to see who's coming on campus, when they're coming on campus, and what they want. You can review the posting itself. And what this will enable you to do is to see what the employer wants. This is sort of a standard OCI posting in that it really doesn't tell you a lot, which is, I think, frustrating to some students. All you can really garner from it is that they want your resume, your transcript, and your writing sample, and they're interviewing for DC, but they don't tell you about their hiring criteria, or, you know, they really don't tell you what offices they're interviewing for. So this is a situation where you need to do some investigation on your own and go to the firm website, go to the NALP profile, see what they're looking for, see what their recruiting page says they're looking for, because they do have hiring criteria. They just might not have told us what they were. So make sure you're doing that. And in this instance, you'll see here a withdraw and apply button. I haven't applied to one position, but I have applied to another, and it's before the deadline, so I could withdraw it if I wanted to and update it, just like you can do with a resume collection. So that's sort of where you're going to manipulate your applications. And as a contrast, here under the 101 session, here's an example of a student who's applied to a position and who has been awarded an interview. You see where it says accept pre-select? That's how you know you've been awarded an interview, and that's a malleable button. When you click on it, you'll be able to sign up for an interview. So here you'll see right now the schedule is wide open, but it's 30-minute interviews. So depending on your class schedule or whatever you have going on, this is where you're going to... Can you guys see what I'm saying? Okay, good. This is where you'll go to sign up for it. So let's say I need the 9 a.m. interview. You sign up. Okay. So here is the scheduled interviews tab. This is where you'll go to track what interviews you have coming up. The more interviews you have, the more important this tab is probably going to be to keep track of them. But keep that in mind. And again, like I said, you can use a class schedule function. This is great because it lets you know what you have going on, but it also will prohibit you from signing up on the system. So if you are in a position where you've waited too long and you have a class and you can't make a sign up, it won't let you. You'll have to contact me or you'll have to pull your conflict out of the system. Does anyone have any questions about using the OCI tab? Yeah. Yeah. Good question. As long as the sign-up window is open, you'll probably be given about a week to sign up for an interview. As long as that window is still open and slots are still available, you can change your time. Once the schedule is full, there's not much you can do, and once the sign-up window is full, there's not much you can do. Another good thing to keep in mind is if you're selected as a pre-select, don't sit on it, because if you wait and the deadline expires, I'm going to contact alternates, and they're going to get on the schedule. And it creates a very difficult situation because ultimately pre-selects do have priority on a schedule. So if you've just been negligent and missed the sign-up window, I'll still put you on the schedule, but then I have to get in touch with the alternate and say, oops, sorry, it's not actually available. There's some student who wants it. So just try to be as responsible as possible. I know things come up, but that just keeps people from getting into uncomfortable situations. So. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and as an alternate, and this sort of speaks to your question about the professionalism policy, as an alternate, you'll basically get an email. It'll say, there's an interview slot available on Monday at 12 p.m. Please contact me if you're interested and available, or please sign up and the first one gets it. If you aren't available at the time of the interview, like if you really can't get out of what you have, don't sign up for it, because you'll have to really, you know, then the entire schedule will get sort of mixed up. So being an alternate is, one, contingent on your availability, and two, sort of contingent on a pre-select dropping off the schedule. Okay? So you all know, I'm assuming, even though you don't use CareerLink that often, this is the Jobs and Resume Collection tab. So this is where you're going to go to look for resume collection and direct application. Again, you can just do a really simple keyword search here. We don't have fall recruitment postings on here right now, but this will sort of pull up spring recruitment postings. These are mostly judicial right now. But anyway, you do a keyword search for either fall recruitment in quotations, direct application in quotations, resume collection in quotations, or you can sort it by date posted. You could sort it by job category type. There's quite a few ways you can do it. If you feel like you're not doing it right, you can always get in touch with us. We have either myself or a resources coordinator who's another full-time staff member who works with CareerLink. So between the two of us, we can probably get you straightened out. Okay. So if nobody has any specific questions related to CareerLink.
Can you show us, could you search for, a direct application or whatever and show us where, what does the
posting?
Posting
yeah.
Say that?
Sure. I don't know. That's a good... Let me see.
That indicates, that it's spring recruitment.
So... The spring recruitment is going on right now, right? So I've done sort of keyword search in quotations for spring recruitment, and this is pulling up 80 positions. Now, what you can do is sort of go over here to the job title and click on it. In the job title, it's telling you it's a spring recruitment opportunity. And then what you can do is sort of look through the description, the job requirements, what the practice areas are. These can sometimes be very extensively filled out. Sometimes it can be very nondescript. So this is a good thing to start with, and then I would always recommend going to the employer's website if they have one to see if they have a job board. Sometimes they won't post in the entirety, a position in its entirety. So this is what you'll be looking at if it's a spring or a fall recruitment, rather, resume collection or direct application. And then over on the right, it's the same how to apply box. You'll have to pull up the mandatory materials. Don't use the notes box, please, and hit submit. Pretty much that simple. But again, if it's resume collection, you can submit it. and know that it'll be there until that deadline. If it's direct application, just think of it as sending an application through your Gmail account. It's gone. You can't get it back. Right? Laura.
I just want to say, once called, I'm a counselor in the office, by the way. Once it's updated, Robin, once it's time for fall recruitment, right, it'll be very clear. It will say either direct application or resume collection, right?
Yeah.
So you'll be able to see it. Like where it says spring recruitment, it'll say it. So there'll be no question as to whether it's direct application or resume collection in the posting. And also in the how to apply, it'll be very clear when you read that as well.
Laura Freegood is one of our general counselors, so you'll probably be working with her as well, in addition to the other three ladies here. Does anyone have, I mean, at this point, we've sort of gone through the components of the program, things to be aware of, how to use some different resources, how you're going to use CareerLink. Does anyone have any questions generally about the program, about, I mean, what's going on? Yep.
For the regional interview programs, this is kind of the same deal as the OCI, where you apply for.
Good question. For the regional programs, it varies. For two of our consortia, for Atlanta and for West Coast, you'll be going through what we call a consortium website, which is also administered by Simplicity, so it looks exactly the same. It's just a different hyperlink. You'll have to register by a certain date, which will be communicated to you in plenty of time, and you'll have to apply by a certain date. But the entire process is exactly the same for West Coast and Atlanta. For New York and for Boston and for Chicago, if it comes to fruition, those will be on CareerLink. Now, Boston's a consortium too, but the difference there is that our school's responsible for organizing it. So I'm sort of coordinating an interview schedule for three schools. But for you guys, you're going to apply to Boston, New York, and again, Chicago if that firms up. All through CareerLink, they'll all be sessions on OCI. So it'll really say fall recruitment 2009, New York interview program, Boston interview program, Chicago interview program. And then the notification process is the same. And for New York and Chicago, the sign-up will be the same. But for Boston, it'll be a little different because we're using three schools on one schedule. Other questions? Questions about kind of the kinds of employers you can expect to see, the kinds of any preparation questions, economy questions? Preparation of materials question. That's a good question. That's a good question. So a question we get all the time, which I didn't include in the presentation, is how many applications can I submit on CareerLink? And the answer is, technically speaking, you can apply to every employer on the system. But what we recommend is that you apply somewhere between 30 and 40 employers. And that's OCI employers. So you can sort of be doing resume collection and direct applications on the periphery. So when you look at it in its totality, between what you're doing through WCL and what you're doing on your own, you could be applying to, you know, 100 or 200 employers, just depending on how much work you're putting into it and or how targeted you're being. So you should be thinking about applying to somewhere around 40 on-campus interview employers. But you're not prohibited from applying to more. Just use your best judgment. When you go onto a posting, I guess sort of a misconception that we hear a lot is that fall recruitment is only for the top 10% of students. Untrue. And what you'll see is a lot of employers will put a class rank preference. They'll say, you know, top 50% preferred. Well, that doesn't mean that if you're, you know, almost 50% that you're barred from applying, but you just always need to be using your judgment because employers are investing considerable resources on their end to review your applications, to send interviewers to the school, to, you know, get everything ready for you. And you're using considerable resources in terms of your time and effort and money. And so make sure you're sort of applying to employers in which you have a legitimate interest, but also make sure you're applying to enough employers that you're covering your bases. Does that make sense? I mean, I think the worst thing is when you end up with more interviews than you wanted and you're interviewing with sort of, it's like when you applied to undergrad, you have like your safety schools and your like schools you can get into and your reach schools. Well, if you end up like doing all these sort of like safety applications because you know you meet the requirements but you're not really interested, that doesn't really do you any good. Okay. Other question? Oh, you guys will have questions, I'm telling you. Yeah.
Mentioned something about spring recruitment. Does that have to do with positions for next summer?
That's a good question. Spring recruitment's going on now, and it's to find positions for this summer. Like the search I just showed you, there's 80 spring recruitment positions that just pull up by a keyword search. There's, I think the last time I checked, there were like somewhere around 250. So you can look on CareerLink right now for summer full-time positions, and there are positions that will come up. So you can participate if you're looking for a position for the summer 2009, this coming summer.
I believe there's a manual sent out in January.
Yeah, and there is, that's good, yeah. There's a spring recruitment manual that went out to all students earlier this semester. It's in our handout section of our website. And you can also schedule a counseling appointment if you're still looking for summer employment. By a show of hands, how many people are studying abroad this summer? How many people have found a position? How many people are looking? Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you're studying abroad and still looking, please come in and see us, because the best thing you can do is try to position yourself so that you already have a position, so when you come back or if you decide to stay abroad, that you can just go into another position in July. So if you haven't met with us, so we can maybe help you with that job search, please help your name.
And if there aren't any other questions, the only sort of only other two little pieces of information I would give you, if you're available this evening, there is a panel of a law firm recruiting manager, a 2008 summer associate who's a 3L now, and a 2006 alumna who's an associate of firm. And they'll be talking to students who secured summer associate positions for this summer about what they can expect from the process. Space is limited, but if you really want to come and learn about these programs you'll be applying for and what's sort of being offered and what people are saying, you're welcome to do so. But again, space is pretty limited, so you would have to sign up soon. And another program we have coming up is WCL Connections, which is going to be a reception next week for OCI employers and students. So it's an opportunity just to meet with employers, mostly attorneys, talk about what they do. It's a networking sort of event, and more information will be coming out about that later this week. So keep those in mind. Did I miss anything? Anything? Okay, then last slide here. Where's my thing? Oh, thanks. Okay, so finally, oh, well, I don't want that. How do I, well, I don't know how to do it on this one. Okay, here's my contact information. I'm the recruitment coordinator. I have 2003 Microsoft Office. I'm the recruitment coordinator again. This is my contact information. If you have questions following this program, if something comes up, you can get in touch with me. If you want to get in touch with our office to set up a counseling appointment to either do that resume review or to talk about mock interviews or just talk about your job search strategy, if you're still looking for this summer, if you're studying abroad and you want to find a job for when you come back, or if you just want to talk sort of larger picture job search strategy, you can either stop by our office in Suite 122 or you can call us to set up an appointment. And again, we're here all summer. We don't get a break. So you can call in if you're out of town. You can come in if you're in town. But we'll be around. So if there are no further questions, you're free to go.